But let's go ahead and open up our three forms of unity to Lord's Day 4. And it'll be page number 20. Lord's Day 4. And it'll be questions 9, 10, and 11. And I'll go ahead and ask the question, and together we'll repeat the answer. So number 9, does not God then do injustice to man by requiring of him in his law that which he cannot perform together? No, for God so made man that he could perform it. But man, through the instigation of the devil, by willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his descendants of those divine gifts. Number 10, will God allow such disobedience and apostasy to go unpunished together? Certainly not, but he is terribly displeased with our inborn as well as our actual sins and will punish them in just judgment, time and eternity, as he has declared, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And number 11, but is not God also merciful? God is indeed merciful, but he is likewise just. And his justice therefore requires that sin which is committed against the Most High Majesty of God be punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment, both of body and soul. So I was thinking about this catechism question this week, this Lord's Day 4. The reality of hell is very much of an important piece of why we understand, or of our understanding of why we need Jesus Christ. That's why we talk about learning the greatness of our sin and misery and how we're redeemed from all our sins and misery, because one leads to the other. One comes before the other. And if people that claim to be Christians believe that God is so loving that he will not punish anyone, how will people ever see their need for Jesus Christ? And this is a real issue that exists in our culture. There's an author named Mark Strauss, and he observed the following in a geographic article. I'm going to read you a short snippet of it. It says this. It says, over the last 20 years, the number of Americans who believe in the fiery down under has dropped from 71% to 58%. Heaven, by contrast, fares much better and, among Christians, remains an almost universally accepted concept. Underlying these statistics is a conundrum that continues to tug at the conscience of some Christians who find it difficult to reconcile the existence of a just, loving God with a doctrine that dooms billions of people to eternal punishment. Everlasting torment is intolerable from a moral point of view, because it makes God into a bloodthirsty monster who maintains an everlasting Auschwitz for victims whom he does not even allow to die, wrote the late Clark Pinnock, an influential evangelical theologian. See, it was false notions like these that have led people to falsely follow those who preach universalism. And this is the idea that everyone will go to heaven. It doesn't matter whether you had repentance of faith or not. Them, everyone goes. But if you think about that for a moment, what does that mean for the evil tyrants that we know of in human history? Will they be saved? I mean, they murdered millions of people. You think about even Nero and Domitian from biblical times who murdered Christians in brutal ways. I mean, is God really going to save them from eternal damnation? Even though they hated Jesus Christ with all their soul? And knowing that universalism is hard to swallow, some came up with a different idea, that people are just going to be annihilated. Annihilated meaning God's going to destroy them. There's no future for them. They just will cease to exist. And if you think about that for a minute, that's obviously easier for a human being to swallow non-existence rather than an eternal punishment in hell. It's certainly an easing of the conscience in that way. It's a better option if it truly was an option. But then others claim that people go to a place called purgatory. We know of those in Roman Catholic circles where they somehow participate in a mini hell, you might say, where they receive the punishment for their sins that Jesus didn't die for. And eventually they'll pay their own debt and make it into heaven. So you have that side of it as well. But obviously the Bible never teaches anything about a purgatory or anything sort of that. And it truly is wishful thinking for people to believe in universalism, annihilationism, or purgatory. God never teaches any of those things. It's just lying to themselves, you might say. And then instead, you know, the Lord tells us that hell is a certain reality, that everyone who denies Jesus Christ will endure. And it's incredibly important that we get this message right, because otherwise it's going to give people a false sense of hope, just like those views we just talked about. They are false senses of hope. Jonathan Edwards, in his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he said this quote, and he summed up the gravity of the issue very nicely. Listen to how he puts it. It says, all wicked men's pains and contrivance they use to escape hell, while they continue to reject Christ, and so remain wicked men, don't secure them from hell one moment. Almost every natural man that hears of hell flatters himself that he shall escape it. He depends upon himself for his own security. He flatters himself in what he has done, in what he is now doing, or what he intends to do. Everyone lays out matters in his own mind, how he shall avoid damnation, and flatters himself that he contrives well for himself and that his schemes won't fail. Schemes won't fail. Yes, they will. If we truly strive to love our unbelieving family members and neighbors as we should, as we ought, we must exhort them to not flatter themselves. Christ, the Lord will deliver them in Jesus Christ, but the Lord will bring his anger if they don't trust in him. It's central to the gospel. It's only Jesus Christ who could take away God's anger. You must remember that, and that's why it's so important and why the catechism is laid out in the way it is.